Well, last week we were talking from the subject, Am I My Brother's Keeper? And if you were here, you know, we talked about how do we love people and be considerate of them while we are doing, acting, moving, and be considerate of people. It's love that we have for people that gives us the strength to be considerate of individuals, to try not to be offensive, to go out of your way, even to deny yourself things that you may feel you have the obligation or right to do. And you give up those things because of love. Love has to be the ingredient that binds everything spiritually together. It is love that gives us what we need, the strength to endure, to care, to share, to forbear, to endure. It's because of love. A lack of love is the reason why we're so impatient, intolerant, quick to retaliate. It's a lack of love that we actually have in us. And because we are doing a lot of the physical things that we feel have to be done from a spiritual standpoint, we don't pay attention to our lovelessness, our lack of love that we have. We don't see it. We see ourselves operating in this realm of, I'm doing the things I'm supposed to do, but I'm insensitive. I'm doing the things I'm supposed to do, but I'm not tolerant. I'm doing the things I'm supposed to do, but I'm not forbearing. But I'm doing the things I'm supposed to do, but I'm impatient. I'm doing the things I'm supposed to do, but I'm accusative. I'm doing the things I'm supposed to do, but I'm vindictive. You see, all those things that we have that we're doing while we're doing the thing we're supposed to do, we're doing them with a lack of love. And as a result, then, we don't have the connectivity in the body that we're supposed to have as it relates to the one another, as it relates to the one another. So all the lessons about, we started in this journey about He is our Lord. He is our Lord. I want us to look at the scripture, Mark chapter 12. And verse number 28, Mark chapter 12 and 28. And I appreciate the reading of the scripture, but I ain't going to teach on all that today. No, I'm just going to tell you that right now. I heard that. I said, did I give him that? I may have, and I'm sorry. You read well. And I'm glad y'all heard it, but I'm teaching that today. All right, Mark chapter 12. Verse number 28, and the Bible says, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, he asked him, which is the first commandment of all? In other words, what's the number one commandment? What's the best commandment? If you're going to do something and you don't do nothing else, what is it you need to do? And Jesus answered him. You have your mic? Well, yeah, your mic. I want to emphasize this because we read through this and we miss stuff. Verse number 29. Read that for me.
And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is.
Now watch this. Now, if you are going to categorize, what is it that I really need to pay attention to make sure I do? Okay, now Jesus said, The first of all the commandments.
Hear, O Israel.
You need to hear. Stop and open up your heart to what's about to be said. So many times we don't give special attention to special announcements. When I was growing up, they don't do this a lot now, but they would do emergency broadcast tests. And they did it often when I was coming up, and it would be a loud beep, you know, beep. This is a test. The emergency broadcast system is testing. And whatever you're doing, the first couple of times you hear that, because it's so different, it gets your attention to pay attention, because if there is an emergency that's coming up, they want people to stop what you're doing, pay attention, so that when this instruction go out, you'll get what you need to make good decisions. So the emergency broadcast. So we hear that. Jesus said, you need to hear.
O Israel. The Lord.
Hold it. Read what now?
The Lord.
There you go. The Lord.
Our now, God.
Hold it. The Lord. Mm-hmm. Now, I started some time ago talking about He's our Lord and we are His servant.
Yes, sir. Yes.
He is Lord to us. So Jesus in the first commandment says, you need to hear, O Israel.
The Lord.
First of all, the Lord. If you don't see Him as Lord, then what comes after that will not mean much to you if you don't see Him as Lord. You got to hear, O Israel, the Lord, the Lord. He has to be your Lord. Yes, now, I think over the weeks that we have trouble with this thing of lordship over us. We just like to feel like I'm able to do what I want to do and I'm grown. And I can do what I want to do and I don't really need to. This concept of lordship rubs me the wrong way. If you have gotten, if you're younger, you've gotten out from under your parents, you know, so you don't want to hear them tell you too much what to do now. You know, you kind of hear them, you know, when you put the phone away while they're giving instructions. Uh-huh, yeah, okay. All right, thank you, bye. Because, see, lordship is something that we don't like in our lives. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, the Lord. He has to be your Lord.
Amen.
And if you're not willing to make Him your Lord, nothing else matters in your Christian walk until and or unless He becomes your Lord. The Lord over your life. And as Lord, you surrender your right to rule your life because you say He's Lord over your life. Now, this is a simple thing, but the magnitude of it is enormous when you understand what it means to surrender your life to His lordship over you.
Amen.
It really means that He will, and because you're going to let Him, tell how you live your life. Your life will be based upon His wishes. Your life be based upon His desire. Your life be based upon His design for you, based on what He says in His word. Therefore, you learn how to live your life for Him, and you do that because He is your what?
Lord.
He's your Lord.
Amen.
He has to be your Lord.
Yes.
So hear, O Israel, the Lord. Read.
Our God.
Now, wait a minute. He is Lord and God. Don't make the mistake of missing it. He's Lord and he's your God. He's the God that is to lord over you. Mm-hmm. He's your Lord God, the Lord, and he's all of our gods. He is God over and to everybody. And over everything. And you have as God. Sometimes we go and we talk to God, but we don't acknowledge the Lordship. We want God involved in our life. We want God to save us. We want God to bless us. But I'm not your God. I'm not just the person you come to for favors. I'm not the genie that you rub when you're in trouble to get a blessing.
Jesus.
I am God, but I'm your Lord. And as Lord, you and I should be surrendering our will to his Lordship. Not just saying, I run my life, and by the way, let me check in on with my God. But God is not ruling your life because you're not living for him.
Plain.
As Lord. Everybody with me? So here Israel, the Lord, our God, Lord God, two things. He's Lord and he's God. He is
one
Lord. Lord. There's but one total Lord that everyone has to surrender to, and he's the Lord God. You need to understand and hear that the Lord, our God, he's one Lord. He's one Lord. Read.
And thou shalt love
now watch
the
this.
Lord.
Now watch this. And thou shalt love who?
The Lord.
The Lord. Don't love him just as God. Love him as your Lord.
Teach, sir.
We want the Godship. We reject his Lordship.
Mm.
Well, how do I know that? Because we're doing what we want to do. Well, why are you doing what you want to do? Because we're saying, I have rule over my life. Not if you have a Lord. If you have a Lord, you are to surrender to him as servant, as slaves, as those who are under his lead. We give ourselves over to his commands. So the Lord, hear, O Israel, thou shalt love the Lord.
Thy God.
There it is again. Lord God. The Lord thy God. Read.
With all thy heart.
Listen, now listen. When it comes to our spiritual life and everything that goes with it and all of the instructions that God gives us, our capacity, it's not that we don't have the ability to do what God says. It's not that every person doesn't have the capacity to do exactly what God says. There is no command given that we don't have the capacity to be obedient to. God hadn't asked anything that is impossible for us to do.
Amen.
Everybody with me?
Amen.
Everything that is instructed is in the realm of our ability to comply. Problem is not our ability to understand what he's saying. It's not our ability to know he's wanting us to move in that direction. The problem is we haven't surrendered to his Lordship.
Right. True.
So the struggle then that we are having with obedience to him is right at the place where who will determine how I live my life? Will the Lord determine how I live it? Mm-hmm. Or am I going to determine? Now watch this. If I am going to determine how I live my life, I denounce him as Lord. Jesus. I reject his lordship. There can be but one Lord. Am I going to be the Lord, or am I going to surrender to his lordship?
Teach, brother.
There is no middle ground. Either he's Lord and you're a servant, or you are being Lord and you want him to be your God. He is Lord and God. Everybody with me? So in order for us to understand what God is expecting of us, Jesus said that this is first commandment. It's just number one. Here is of the Lord thy God is one Lord, and thou shalt love
the Lord.
Him as your Lord. Love him as, love his lordship over your life. Love the fact that he is over you. Love him as Lord. You can't like it. You gotta love it. All right? For those of you who take notes, I am using as a subject this morning, love makes the difference. Love makes the difference. You see, what motivates me, you, us, what is the motive that gives us the ability and capacity to love his lordship over you? Because that's what you're doing. If he's your Lord, then you got to love his lordship. We tend to want to love his godness.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
We want the great I am. We love the fact that, oh, he has all power, you know. The Lord is an awesome God.
Yeah.
Our God is an awesome God. We love the godness. But we don't love the lordship.
Make it plain, sir.
We are to love his lordness. Love the Lord, our God. Love his lordship. The focus in each one of the things, hear, O Israel, the Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord. The focus is his lordship. And we are to love his lordship over us. Now, when we think about our response to his lordship, we are to love the Lord thy God. Go ahead and finish reading.
With all thine heart.
With everything that you have. You love him with all of your heart. Read.
And with all thy soul. And with all.
From the depths of your entrails, you love him with all of your soul. Read.
And with all thy mind.
With every mental effort of focus that you can give, you love him. Read.
And with all thy strength.
You labor under the burden of bringing you into submission to his will, and it takes all your effort to do it. It takes all of your effort to do it. So you love with all of the strength. Read.
This is the first commandment.
Now, this is number one. The first thing that we have to understand. Until you get this, it's no need of focusing on, but I come to church every week. But I'm giving X number of percentage of my income. But I'm doing, see, there's no need of focusing on that if he's not your Lord. I want you to know something. He acknowledges and recognizes his servants.
Yeah, yeah.
His servants hear his voice.
Yes.
If you love me, Jesus said, you will do what?
Keep.
You keep. In other words, your struggle with doing what I say is tied to love, but if you don't see me as Lord, then you're not going to do it. Because you reserve the final say as to how you're going to respond to the world's plights and all the things that are going in life. You are reserving the final. It's not what does the Lord say I should do in this situation. That's not even on our radar most times. It's how do I feel about this and this person, and based on this circumstance, how am I going to respond? Not what doth my Lord say I ought to do. Everybody with me? The Lord is not even on the radar screen. Love him with all of your heart, all of your soul, mind, strength. This is your command. Read next verse. Read.
And the second is like,
now watch this.
Namely this.
You want to tie these two together. And the second one is like, namely this. Read.
Thou shalt love thy neighbor.
Thou shalt love. Wait a minute. Love. Thou shalt love who?
Thy neighbor. As thyself.
You need to learn to love folk like you love yourself. Now, watch this. If you don't make him Lord, then if he's not your Lord, how well are you loving you if God is not your Lord? Let me restate this. Y'all missed this. If you really love you, how well are you loving yourself if you haven't made God Lord of your life? Now, you want his salvation, but have you made him Lord? If you have not made him Lord, really, are you loving yourself? Are you loving yourself? Truly. Not when you understand that if I don't make him Lord, then nothing else matters if I don't make him Lord. So if I don't love him as my Lord, then that means I am not loving myself to the greatest capacity that I'm able to love myself. I think I love myself, but in reality, I am like a child who is unrestrained, and I'm living, doing what I choose without following the guidance of the one that knows best for me. So I'm, and I think because I'm doing my thing, I'm loving myself. Whoa, true love is when you learn to love God as Lord.
Yeah.
Now watch this. Now watch this. So he says, second is like the first, and thou shalt do what?
Love thy neighbor.
Love other folk
as thyself.
How?
As thyself.
Now watch the problem. Here's the problem. How are you going to love somebody right and you're not loving yourself right? How are you going to love somebody else right, and the way you love yourself is not right? You see how messed up that is? That's a messed up stuff, ain't it? Yeah, that's messed up. That because we are commanded to love other folk to the extent that we love ourselves. If we don't love ourselves well, how are you able to love somebody else? Well, you can't. So now it begs to understand now, as that is a foundation, it begs to understand, why should I love him that much? Well. Got to ask that question.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, because it's calling for me to do everything, all of this, all of that, all of this, all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my mind, all of my strength. That, now, why am I going to love somebody that much and love lordship over me that much? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I believe that's what I want. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I want verse 9, but start at verse 7. That's a teaching point right there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7.
Now, therefore, there is utterly a fault among you.
Now, watch this. This is a letter written to Christians that are members of the body of Christ. They've been born again of the water of the Spirit. And Paul is saying, and you got faults. Okay? The church can have faults. Here's one of the faults. Read.
Because you go to law one with another.
Read.
Why do you not rather take wrong?
Wait a minute. Hold up. He is suggesting that you have been done wrong. And that, why don't you just take the wrong and go on about your business? Okay. That's what he suggested. Why don't you just take the wrong? Now, when you are, quote, right, and someone does you, quote, wrong, we feel that there ought to be some type of vindication. For us, for me.
Come on.
Because I was right. They was wrong. Paul says you got a fault. Fault is, if he is Lord, why don't you just take the wrong and go about your business? Now, wait a minute. We got a real problem with his lordship when the Lord is suggesting that we can be wronged and we don't have a right to just retaliate.
Teach us, sir.
You see, ain't nobody ever done me wrong and got away with it. Not when I can do something about it. Okay. Whoa. Is this about you as a person or you as a servant? Is it about you and your lordship or is it about you and God and his lordship is not in the picture? Everybody with me? So here's the fault. You've been done wrong. Why don't you just take the wrong? Read.
Why do you not rather... suffer yourself.
Wait a minute. Why don't you allow yourself to do what?
Suffer yourself.
To do what?
To be what? To be defrauded.
They took advantage of you and you lost something in the process. So why don't you take the loss and go on? Verse 8, read.
Nay, ye do wrong. And defraud.
Yeah.
And that your brother.
Listen, this is the church having a bad in the way we deal with each other. Read. Now, where I want to get is verse 9. Read.
Know ye not.
Now, watch this. Now, here is the premise that we have to go back to understand why am I going to love him like this? Love him with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind. Here's the premise. Read.
That the unrighteous shall not inherit.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Do you not? Paul is saying that no unrighteous person. Now, the only thing that makes one right is not our deeds. It is the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Everybody with me? That's the only thing that makes you right. So know ye not that the unrighteous shall not
inherit the kingdom of God.
You can't come into the kingdom of God if you're unrighteous. Read.
Be not deceived.
Don't fool yourself.
Neither fornicators.
Okay, now he's just starting to list some things, and you'll be in this list, but you know what it is. So read. Neither fornicators. Read.
Nor idolaters.
Okay, come on back, Brother Lynch. Come on back. Come on back. Come on.
No adulterous. No effeminate.
Wait, whoa. Come on back, Brother Lynch. Come on back. All right, come on. Let's start this again. Know ye not
that the unrighteous
shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Read.
Be not deceived.
Don't be deceived.
Neither fornicators.
Nor adulterers.
Nor effeminate. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Nor thieves.
Nor drunkards.
Nor revilers.
Nor extortioners.
Shall inherit the kingdom of God.
Now, your name might not have been on that list, but you know what you do. Okay.
And
read.
Such were. Some of you.
Wait a minute. Everybody in the church has a such were.
Some of y'all.
I see you mess with my text now, Lee. Some of you.
But you are washed.
Hold on. Now, everybody who has come to the kingdom came with sinful baggage.
Make it plain, sir.
Everybody comes to the kingdom
with something.
With sinful, a bag full of sin. And you know all what was in your bag.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, sir.
We come to him saying, I'm coming just as I am, and I got a bag full of stuff. And I want you to take me.
Take me.
And I want you to save me with the bag.
Yeah.
And when you do, I want you to be my God. He said, but I can't be your God without being your Lord. I want you to forgive me, godness. I can do it. But in order to do that, you got to make me Lord. Yes,
sir. Lord have mercy.
And such were some of you. Read. But you have been washed. You've been
sanctified.
Watch this. You've been, now listen, we bring truckloads of sin to God.
Make it plain, sir.
Truckloads.
Yeah.
There's an image in a book I read, The Greatest Man in Babylon. He talks about loving to the point to where the faults are as high as the pyramid. Okay, in Egypt. See, we bring pyramids of sin to God. And we bring it to him with the expectancy that my faith in him, my trust in him, he has the capacity and the ability to somehow or another make me right in his eyes and wash my sins away. Right?
Yes, sir.
wash my sins away. And so when we go down in the watery grave of baptism, God performs an operation.
Yeah, yeah.
And while in the water, he surgically removes from your account all your sin.
Talk, sir. Talk.
Why? Because he has the power. Well, what is the power based on? The Lord. You've been washed, you've been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now, when you understand how much God has forgiven you.
Teach, sir.
Not just initially. Some have done some things wrong since then. Some of us have sinned since then.
Yes.
Quite a few times.
Yes.
Right? His blood continues. John talks about that in 1 John. Don't go there. But John talks about that in 1 John, how his blood continues to cleanse us if we confess our faith. Why does he do all of that? Why would he do all of that? Why would he send his son? Why? Like the son, why did my Savior come to earth? And to the humble go. Why did he choose a lowly birth? Because
he loved.
He loved.
Me so.
Me so.
Yes, sir.
Everybody with me?
Yes, sir.
It's his love for us. When you recognize the love and you know you need that love, you're thankful for that love, you say, and now I'm going to make you my Lord. I know you're my God, but I'm going to make you Lord of my life. And as Lord, I want you to speak, Lord. So you can tell your servant what he must do.
Yes, Lord.
So the capacity that we have to keep one another is tied to how we love his lordship. We're to love others like we love ourselves, correct? Is that what he said?
Amen.
Okay. All right. Now, quickly, I need you to go over to Luke chapter 10. And we see the same scenario being asked in Luke chapter 10, verse number 25. I'm going to read through this first. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, now watch this. He answered and said, the right thing. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Now watch this.
And he said unto him,
Whoa. Don't leave that. Watch this. You can know the truth.
I see.
Quote the truth.
I see.
And live the truth.
Make your point, sir. Make your point.
Jesus is not saying this time. Somebody else is saying the same thing he said. It's not what we know that makes it. It's how we incorporate what we know into our lives. He was quoted right. And Jesus said what?
And thou hast answered right.
You said the right thing. You right on target. I couldn't have said it any better. So he says now, do this.
This do.
Yeah.
And thou shalt live.
Now, it is the execution of making him Lord God, Lord God, Lord God, that brings us to the point of doing this. You're not doing this if he's not Lord God. See, we want him as God, but we're not making him Lord. So he says what? Read quickly.
And he said unto him, thou hast answered right.
You answered right.
Yeah. This do, and thou shalt live.
Verse 29.
But he, willing to justify himself.
Okay, now he wants to make himself look good. Read.
Said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor?
Now, I'm supposed to love my neighbor like I love myself. You can't love anybody beyond your capacity to love you. And if you're not loving you right, you cannot love them right. Everybody with me? You can't love anybody beyond your capacity to love yourself. So if you're not loving your wife right, how are you loving you? If you're not loving your husband right, well, how are you loving you? If you're not loving, see, you can't love your neighbor like you any better than you love you. But love is based on Lord God. So if he's not Lord God and you're not making him Lord, first of all, you haven't loved yourself right. So how are you going to love somebody beyond your capacity to love you? In other words, restated, how are you going to sacrifice for somebody else greater than you sacrifice for yourself? Everybody with me?
You're teaching, brother.
How are you going to do more in forgiving somebody else than you won't even love and forgive yourself by loving God right? You can't. So he's trying to justify himself. Now, who is my neighbor? Read.
And Jesus answered and said...
No, we don't have time. I got 10 minutes. He's getting ready. I'm looking at the clock. He's getting ready to tell this story. I think we know the story. The point of the story is a Jewish man fell among thieves. They robbed him and left him on the road half dead. That's the story, right? And next verse, 31. And in verse number 31...
And by chance...
There came a priest.
A priest.
Now watch this. A priest.
And
a godly person comes by, looks at him...
Passed by on
and
the other
sees
side.
Him laying down and just gone by him on the other side. Poor man. You know, just gone by him. Read.
Likewise, a Levite.
Then a Levite came by.
He was at the place.
And he was at the place.
He looked on him.
He went over to him.
By on the other side.
Looked at him and said, ooh, poor man. And he go by on the other side. Read.
But a certain Samaritan.
But a Samaritan. Now,
as he journeyed.
Now watch this. He was trying to judge himself. The problem that he had was he had a prejudice in his heart where it would not allow him to love the prejudiced person. Well, he can't do that kind of love without lordship being over him. In other words, you have to be surrendering to Lord to love someone that you have a prejudice, you can have prejudice against. And everybody has a prejudice.
Yes.
Towards other folk.
Yes.
Sometimes our prejudice is where folk dress. They dress a certain way, and we have already concluded by their dress, oh, that is just this. So how you gonna minister to them, and you've already judged them unworthy of your time.
You're teaching, sir.
Based on the prejudice that you have against them. And you are operating on prejudice. Well, why are you operating on prejudice so freely? Because you haven't surrendered to lordship. And if you don't surrender to lordship, how are you going to love someone and you have not made him Lord? And you're saying, Lord, I'm not trying to do just what I feel like doing, but I'm doing what you say do. You say I need to love my enemy.
Pray for my enemy. Pray for those that despitefully use me and abuse. Well, how am I going to do that? I can't do it with me as Lord, because if I'm Lord, I got to take care of the matter.
Teach.
But if I'm not Lord and he's Lord, okay, Lord, what? Okay, I'm going to surrender. What do I got to do? I got to love him? Okay.
Teach.
Help me love him, because I don't feel this, Lord, but I'm going to work towards this because you're Lord, and I don't have a right to question you, so I'm just going to do. So the prejudice was brought up by bringing a Samaritan in this narrative, because all Jews have aught against the Samaritan. They ain't worthy of nothing, right? But it was the one that they had the most prejudice towards, God used in the story to show how you ought to love the neighbor as yourself. That means that we have a great deficit in our love capacity, because we have not made him Lord. And if he's not Lord, then you don't have it in you, your own strength, to love somebody who you are already prejudiced against. It's not just about race prejudice, but that's a part of it. It's not just about age prejudice. It's not just about, you know, the pants are down prejudice. And when you see the pants down, you've already concluded there's a prejudice that you bring. Well, how do I get away from that? I got to let Lord guide me. And I have to be willing to be under the auspices of lordship. And when I'm under lordship, then it's, Lord, how do you want me to view? Lord, how should I? So we bring our ideologies and our made up mind to how we ought to feel and ought to do. And then we say, but God, I want you to bless me, but you're not Lord. Because I am not working that hard to come under you. And you just govern my life. So, I'm closing. So when you go back then to where it says, when Jesus was saying, the first, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. He is to be Lord of all. And thou shalt love
the Lord thy God.
The Lord your God. With all
thine heart.
Your heart. With all of your,
oh,
with all of that soul that you have, the essence of you, with all of your
strength,
your full capacity, with all of your,
thy mind,
with every mental ounce of focus that you can give, where you give him the best that you have. And why are you doing that? Because
thy neighbor,
he is Lord. And then when you get that, now you have the ability to love
thy neighbor, thy neighbor as thyself.
Any other person. Yes. You can love them like you love you when you've made him Lord of your life.
Amen.
You cannot love folk like you love you unless he's Lord. And you're not loving yourself to the greatest capacity if you haven't made him Lord. So love is making the difference here. We say love so easy. Oh, I love chocolate cake. Oh, I love going to Disney World. Oh, I love, listen. We're talking about a selfless, a not emotional, not sensual, but a decision to give oneself to another. And we do it on the basis of all the great things that he does and he continues to do for me. And because of that, I willingly surrender my life to him as Lord.
Amen.
Have you made him Lord? I know he's your God. But is he your Lord? I know he's your God, but is he your Lord God? So if you're here, and I know the Spirit has done his job, because the Spirit is already convicting you in the area of your life that you need convicting in, and it's a wonderful thing that God has a way of getting his Spirit in you to say, yes, don't you see? Yes, this is you. Yes, you need to do. God bless you for coming. Yes, yes, yes. See, that's the Spirit working on you. Because I would venture to say that few people really have him as